was a joy to renew fellowship with my brother Sam. He says, well, you didn't have me for singing tonight, for I am the world's worst singer. It must be great to have a talent to sing. I do thank Mr. Porter for inviting me tonight to come and give a word of personal testimony. I'm nobody special, just a sinner that God saved. And no doubt many here tonight could give a personal testimony to God's saving power. I don't know if you've ever been in court. Several times I've been in court, not as a felon or a prisoner. In 1992, I worked in the rewiring of Sirwark Crown Courts in Newington Causeway in the Inner London Session Courts. I was there for some time, and that place is actually very near the Elephant and Castle, where the great Metropolitan Tabernacle, the Church of the Reverend Charles Haddon Spurgeon, is. That was one time I was in a court for many days. And then another time, earlier on, I was summoned to court in Downpatrick to go as to serve on a jury. But fortunately for me, I wasn't picked. They didn't like the shape of my face or something, so I wasn't picked. So I got out of being on service in the court. Why I talk about the court is because you will know that when people are summoned many times to court, they have to go as witnesses to relate their experience, to give their testimony of what they saw or heard or touched or whatever. And when they're in the court, they're sworn to tell the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. My testimony is how I became a Christian. Tonight I must be faithful. In Proverbs 14 verse 5 it says, a faithful witness will not lie, but a false witness will utter lies. There are a body of people, I'm sure you know today, called Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower people. They lie. They are not true witnesses, but false witnesses. If you would read about Jehovah's Witnesses, you can read it in the Bible, the true witnesses, the Lord's witnesses, Isaiah 43 verses 10. And 12. Tonight I want to be a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Did not the Lord Jesus call his disciples to witness in Acts chapter 1 verse 8? And Jesus himself is called in Revelation chapter 3 verse 14 the true and faithful witness. We are commanded in the ninth commandment, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. So I trust to tell you the truth tonight, to bear witness to what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for me. But before I relate my testimony, I must caution you about two things. First of all, the events I will described took place 57 years ago. And now being a septenarian, my memory is failing. My eyes are failing. My ears are failing. My whole body seems to be falling apart. Have a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verses 1 to 7 and you will see a wonderful description of old age. It's done metaphorically. It's a picture of old age. So therefore, I might not get things absolutely and perfectly right because of my failing memory. And the second thing I would say is, as regards a caution, the difficulty of portraying a spiritual happening, because of the mystery of it, it is called in the Bible the new birth, or the second birth, or regeneration, which is a work of God. God the Father, God the Son, and in particular, God the Holy Spirit. And as we know so little about our natural birth, so also our spiritual birth. It's a mystery. So here is my testimony. In the providence of God, I was born in Belfast City on the 5th of September, 1940. You might not remember or know, but at that time, Britain was at war with Germany. And the city of Belfast was blitzed by the German bombers. And so there was terror of death from the skies. You will not understand that. And even tonight, in parts of the world, there's people and they're terrified from death falling from the skies. Just think of it. It must have been a dreadful experience for my parents to have a little baby during those years. My mother and my father were just ordinary working class citizens. My mother's name was Elizabeth Phillips, and she actually got Lily by my father. My father's name was Tommy Foreman, and his father was Tommy Foreman, and also I am actually Thomas Bryan Foreman. My mother's father, John Phillips, by trade was a French polisher. Now, I don't know if anybody here remembers what a French polisher was. Well, he would bring up the stains and the grains in the wood. He was a French polisher. And he worked on the Titanic boat in the shipyards of Belfast. That is my Granda Phillips. My father's father, Granda Foreman, saw military service in World War I in France, Belgium. We know very little about it, but we do know that he had a horse, which must have been of some difficulty to have when you were at war and to look after it. We do know that he was a prisoner of war for some time, and he had to work in mines for the Germans. My grandfather, Foreman, died in 1945, just before the Japanese surrender was announced, the same night. And I was with him. I was the last person probably to be with him outside walking as a little boy of five. I didn't know anything about it, of course, till a long time after. And it was in Groomsport in County Down. Our family was on holiday. But the family grew up and lived in the Craigie Road in Belfast. Now, I must explain to you, if you don't know much about Belfast City, think of it as a bicycle wheel. And the main roads lead out of it. There's the Lisburn Road, the Malone Road, and then there's the Armour Road, and then there's the Ravenhill Road, and then there's the Woodstock Road, which changes halfway up to the Craigie Road, and then you can go on right round to the Newton Arch, goes right round in a circle. These roads lead out of the city. Well, it was the Craigie Road that I was born on, or where I was brought up on as a little boy. It was in a very small estate. The names of the streets were named after places in the First World War. Beetville Avenue, Hamel Drive, Storm Drive, Bapfum Drive, Albert Drive, Picardy. These are famous names of World War One. And my grandfather gained a house there, and that's where we lived. And when I was a little boy, there was nothing but fields for miles around those cluster of houses. You go today, and there's tens of thousands of houses built. You will hardly see a green field at all. And there we grew. We lived in that house. There was three families lived in that house just after the Second World War. And as a little boy, I remember playing marbles on the cenotaph. That's there, right at Thetville Avenue. There were three families lived in that house, and my father served his time as a tool fitter in Short and Horland, and he helped to build aeroplanes for the war effort. It came in 1948. Around that time, we moved across the Craigie Road to a vast, big, new estate that was built. It's called the Craigie Estate. There's over 1,000 flat-roofed houses. I've learned very recently why they were built flat-roofed, because there was a shortage of timber just after the war, so they couldn't build the ordinary roof. Our family grew to be four. I was the eldest, of a sister, Maureen, and a brother, Ronnie, and another brother, Martin. We lived in a place called Callan Way, which is off South Bank. Now, South Bank and North Bank were round a big green area. It was playing fields for a long time, but when I went there originally, it was just like dumps. But on the North Bank, there was a famous man lived. I'm 6 years older than him, it was Geordie Best. And he used to kick football around that field in the Craigie Estate. I did too, but I don't ever remember meeting him or anything about him in those days. His sisters both went to Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church Sunday School and the children's meeting. I went to Craigie Primary School, and there I met a friend, a dear friend, to this day, a man called Alan Kearns. I don't know how you know him. Dr. Alan Kearns, who lives now in Ballymoney. He's just retired from the church in Greenville in South Carolina. Well, Alan and I have known each other for over 65 years. We grew up together as little boys with short trousers, and we went together to school. Alan lived not very far from me, in the Craigie Estate, in a place called Arney Close. I passed, I don't know how, the 11 plus, and therefore in 1952 went to Bangor Grammar School in County Down. Because we lived outside the boundary, I was told I couldn't get into school in Belfast, so I had to travel over 12 miles as a little boy to Bangor for 4 years. And I'm glad I went there. And one of the things that I remember and bless God for is learning Latin. I think Latin is the basis of knowing English. I'll not go into that. But if you were to look at the nominative, vocative, accusative, dative, ablative, cases of nouns, well, as you would know in learning Latin, that tells you things, and so on. That is why. But when I became 16 and left the grammar school, my father would not let me proceed in further education. He said that I must go and serve my time. And he got me a position as an apprentice electrician in a city, based near the gasworks. So I am a spark. a spark who saw the light. My mother and father were not churchgoers. And while we were children, the four of us in the family, we were sent out on a Sunday afternoon to get us out of the road to a Sunday school. And we went to Craigie Road Reformed Presbyterian Church. That is a Covenantan church. And it was about a mile from our home. And if it was wet weather, we used the trolley bus, which would cost us a halfpenny each in fares to go to our Sunday school. But I'm glad I went there. You probably don't know that in a Covenantan church there's no music. There are no hymns. And you generally stand for prayer. The minister at the time when I was a boy was the Reverend Fred Leakey. And he actually has three or four books published even today by the Banner of Truth. One of the best ones you can get on demonology was by Fred Leakey. But while I went to that Sunday school, I learned Psalms. I can quote to this day, "Blessed is a man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, nor but placeth his delight in the law of God," and so on. I can repeat that because I was taught it as a little boy. Psalm 8, "How excellent, O Lord, our Lord, is thy name." And Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the earth showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, night unto night showeth knowledge." I just learned that. I didn't know what it meant as a little boy, but I learned it. And also the catechism. Now, I say this for encouragement to any of our Sunday school teachers or those who teach boys and girls. They might not understand it, but the catechism was tremendous to me, the shorter catechism. What is sin? Now, that's a big question. Sin is any want of conformity unto or transgression of the law of God. In other words, breaking God's word. That's what sin is. Or what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable in his being, wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. I learned those things. And I'm demonstrating I know them. And I found that they were a great help. Always being in the construction industry, and you'd get people coming up to you saying, "What is God? What is this God you talk? God is a spirit," and you quote that. Or what is sin? Again, you can tell them it's breaking God's law. So be encouraged, Sunday school teacher or children's worker. You're sowing seed that might germinate years later. And I profited. And I only wish I had learned 1,000 times more what I did when I was a little boy. What is justification? Justification is an act of God's free grace. What is sanctification? It's a work of God's free grace. And you can learn these things in the shorter catechism. I reaped great benefit from those teachers. They were godly people. But alas, there was something missing. They never taught me the necessity of being saved. Now, I'm sure they were all saved. But they never talked about it, about being converted. And this is a thing that was sad to me. But in 1957, when I'd just become a first-year apprentice electrician, I realized in hindsight and looking back that God had brought me under tremendous conviction of sin through the preaching of the Reverend Fred Leakey. I feared God. I trembled to meet God. By, I was really frightened and terrified under the conviction of his spirit. But let me say something else. I was taught the law of God, the Ten Commandments. And they must have had an influence upon me because I would never use foul language or filthy talk. I wouldn't even go with the other boys if they were going to raid an orchard. God was watching me. And to this day, I have never smoked. I've never drunk any drink or gambled. I've never even drunk a pint. And I've never gambled. A remarkable thing. I was a goody-goody, as they would say. But I knew I was a sinner. I feared God's wrath. And on April the 27th, 1957, I met up with a friend. There was Jim Campbell and Alan Kearns. The three of us used to play cricket. It was summer and football in the winter. But I met up with Jim Campbell this Saturday afternoon, and we had finished whatever we'd been doing, and we're just walking down Mount Marion Avenue, just near where the church is today. And we had an argument. And Jim, who went to Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church, maintained his church was right. And I said, I go to the Craigie Road Reformed Presbyterian. I maintained I was right. So we had a head-to-head argument. So we came to the conclusion, let's visit each other's church. And this is the truth, I tell you. We stopped and threw out one of the older pennies and tossed it in the air. And Jim won the toss. So I was to go the next day, Sunday, to his church in Mount Marion Avenue. But that's not the whole story. Because just afterwards, Jim says to me, what are you doing tonight, Saturday night? Oh, I said, I don't know. Nothing. He says, would you like to come with me to a Christian meeting? I said, certainly. See, the conviction of God was upon me. So I went with him and some others to the Coal Men's Mission in Belfast. It's a place, a big place that was built near the quayside where the coal was brought in from the ships. It was a marvellous time because nearly 1,000 people met there every Saturday night. It was great times. The Spirit of God was moving. And I went that night to this meeting with this friend. And it was different to me. See, I never heard music in a church before. Here there was accordion, piano, organ. There was choruses, there was hymns. I never experienced this. But above and beyond that, there was an inward battle in my heart. Someone preached, I can't remember who or what, an appeal was made. And I put up my hand. I wanted to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was taken up into a wee back room and kneeled down with a man called Jim Allen. He was a brethren evangelist, but he was called the Motorbike King because he had a big motorbike place on the Dublin Road in Belfast. And he led me to the Lord. A little upper room. And the verse he pointed to me was Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33. The words of Jesus Christ. And here's what the Lord says. Whosoever shall confess me, that is acknowledge me before men, him also will I acknowledge before my Father which is in heaven. And then he said, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him also will I deny before my Father which is in heaven. I wanted that night to be on the Lord's side. And so I closed in with the Lord Jesus Christ. I called on the Lord for salvation. There was no lightning strike. But I know my life from that moment was radically changed. I was no longer fighting with God or afraid of God. I was at peace with God. And I could look up and say, God is my Father. And ever since, every day and night, I can go to my Heavenly Father, reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ. I was given a new nature. I delighted in the Word of God. I made new friends. I was now a child of God. Do you know, a person who becomes a Christian is a mighty work of God. We're told that in the Scriptures. A mighty work of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, it takes to make a Christian. The next day, Sunday the 28th of April 1957, I went to Mount Marion Free Presbyterian Church and went there for a long time, something like 19 years. The Reverend Bertie Coop was the minister then, and believe it or not, I think even that first day, it was either that or the next week, he allowed me to go to the Lord's Supper. I could not believe it. And then a few weeks after, I was press ganged into being a Sunday school teacher. I couldn't understand it. Because apparently I had gained a knowledge of Scripture from being in my Sunday school. So that's what happened. I tell you the truth. Alan Kearns and I grew up as chums and as teenagers. We run about together serving the church in various ways. In 1966, in March, I married the church organist, Miss Sandra Young, converted her to a foreman. She had been saved in the Armour Road and the Brethren, saved as a child of 9, and we got married in March 1966. And the same year, later on in 1960, I was chosen and ordained an elder in the church at Mount Marion. Dr. Paisley and the Reverend Cecil Maneri preached on that occasion. And I served the congregation as an elder for 10 years. And God blessed Sandra and I with 4 daughters, Dorothy, Heather, Caroline, and Pamela. And in the early 70s, the story is far too long. I went to South Africa, and then I went to the Middle East to work in Saudi Arabia. And I visited Lebanon, Jordan, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, all those different countries. In South Africa, I lived at first at a place called Sasolburg in the Orange Free State. And the story is remarkable. I was working on a major construction, always, of course, in the electrical work. I was working in substations and things. I remember working there. And the story's too long. But I met this man outside. I went to a church one night, and I walked around the churches in Sasselberg one night by myself. And I went into different ones, and I asked, can you speak in English or Afrikaans? And I think the last church I was going to go to, and it sung out of our hymn books, the Redemption songs. It sung out of that book, but they spoke in Afrikaans. But while I was there, this lady was sitting in the back row with a little baby and a wee boy by her side. And I spoke to her, and she was Afrikaans, but she could speak beautiful English. And then her husband came along, and he inquired what I was talking to his wife. And you know, they opened their door right away and invited me to come and stay with them. Instead of staying in a single camp where men were getting drunk, even pulling knives on people. And so they gave me a bicycle that I could get back and forth from Sattelberg to the construction site. God did great things for me. In Saudi Arabia, I met an Arab, Khalid Haddad. He was a professor in the Aramco Oil Company's school, and he taught English. So he's phenomenal at English, so I had no problem there. And we used to meet each other in each other's single quarters. Mine was a small one, but his was, being a professor, was much pleasure. But we met in each other from time to time, and we read the Scriptures together, and we prayed together. Khalid Haddad. I've lost contact with him. But he used to read the Scriptures, and he used to pronounce words that we would say different. And that used to make me think. And like, for instance, he, instead of saying Barabbas, he would say Barabbas, which probably is the more correct pronunciation of it. Things like that. And through him, I was able to go to Amman, the capital of Jordan, to go and see all those different countries. And because South Africa at that time was, I discovered to be a wonderful country in its weather, its potential, its whatever. I decided to emigrate, and I took my family out from Belfast in 1976. Four little girls. The waist was only about 7 or 8 months old. We went to South Africa, and we lived there for 6.5 years. And then in 1983, we came back to London, and we lived in London for 22 odd years. We attended Dr. Brian Green's church at Felton Free Grace Baptist Church. Sandra played the organ for 19 years in Mount Marion. She played the organ for 22 years in Felton Free Grace Baptist Church. I did a lot of lay preaching in all the churches, Free Presbyterian churches, that is, in England and Wales and other places as well. But I always worked in electrical construction, total of 49 years. I worked one time at Bracknell, where the Met office was, the Metallurgical office, that is, but it's now moved away down south. And I went through Ascot every day, where the famous race course is. And then the last 12 years of my life, I worked at Terminal, at Heathrow Airport, Terminals 1, 2, 3, 4. And I was on the original construction of Terminal 5. And I never seen the construction finished till last week. Last Tuesday, I went deliberately to see Terminal 5, the finished project. Christian experience. There's times when we've had hard times, times when we've no money, but we've had help from God. But Sandra and I always, no matter where we were, in whatever place we always went to prayer meetings and to church, even if we could not speak the language. We met Dr. Paisley often because he used to come and stay with Brian Green and Pat, his wife, in their house, which wasn't far away from where we were living. And by the way, way back in the 60s, my wife Sandra was the private secretary to Dr. Paisley. So such is my story tonight, my record, my testimony. 2005, I retired and moved over here to Portadown to be near my eldest daughter. And of course, I joined Bethany Free Presbyterian Church because I knew Reverend Elliot for many, many years. To sum up my testimony, you'll find it in Psalm 119, verse 65. And here's what it says. Thou hast dealt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word. Thou hast dealt well. O God, has showered down to me, upon me, blessings innumerable. And it's great to have the Lord in your life. In the Bible, we have many testimonies. For instance, you'll find Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 9, chapter 22, and chapter 26. And in some of his epistles, he refers to his testimony. But can you look with me for just a moment or two at this chapter that Mr. Porter read to us? This chapter, John chapter 9, I'd like to point out a couple of things to you. I'm not going on too long. Here we have this man who was blind from birth. Total darkness. He never knew what a colour was. He never knew what the face of his relatives were. He was in total darkness, but Jesus passed by and saw him. And he did something for him. And I want you to look with me at his testimony. It's in verse 11. It says in verse 10, therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. He was a new creature. In fact, the people didn't know who it was for a while. And they disputed. But he said, I am he. Look at verse 9. And some said, this is he. And others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. His testimony. What did he testify of? He testified of a person. A man that is called Jesus. And then he testified of what the Lord performed for him. His work for him. He spat on the ground and made clay and anointed his eyes. And then we have the word that the Lord gave to him. To go to the pool Siloam and wash. What a miracle. He came away seeing. This was the wonder working power of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Changed this man's life radically. And this was his testimony. But look with me. I want you to look at many times in this chapter it's asked for his testimony. We've looked there at verse 10. How were thine eyes opened? Look at verse 15. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. Verse 19. And they asked him, saying, is this your son? This was his parents, who ye say was born blind. How then doth he now see? And then verse 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He gave his testimony. His testimony is recorded for us here very plainly. A man that is called Jesus. And I would just for a second or two just compare my testimony to his. The person who saved me was Jesus Christ. The work he performed for me was on the cross. There he took my place. He was smitten of God, afflicted, took away the punishment due to me for my sin. And then the word that the Lord gave to me, Matthew 10, verses 32 and 33, whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father, which is in heaven. Here we've mentioned the heart of the gospel, Jesus Christ being smitten of God, taking the punishment. He was the substitute. He died for me. So here we have the person, the work, and the word. In closing, can I ask you tonight, where do you stand? Have you got a testimony like this blind man in the scriptures, or myself or other people that are here tonight? Oh, you need to have a testimony. May God give you the grace tonight, if you're not a Christian, to turn and call upon the Lord Jesus to save you.